Hey guys, I'm Eric McLean.
And I'm Kelly Gramlich. It's time to talk some ACC sports.
Let's go!
What a weekend it was. Welcome in to Gramlich and McLean. We are here to break down a really fun weekend in the ACC. On the football field, football conference, as they say, Mac. So excited to be joined by you, Mac, and just a lot to talk about. But first and foremost, we want to thank everyone that's listened so far to the pod. Please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. You can follow us on social media at Kelly Gramlich, at Eric McLean, and tell your friends. Tell your friends about Gramlich and McLean and get the people listening to the podcast. So, that's just a little housekeeping there, Mac. Football this weekend. Oh, I was just glued to my TV. I had multiple screens.
I think that's what I'm talking about.
Four screens going.
Wow.
How much did you enjoy this weekend, Mac?
We are just so blessed right now. Two great weekends in a row. I mean, you're talking about competitive football, crazy endings, high scoring, lots of yards, great defense at times. It was just anything you wanted, you got it this weekend in football, and really two weekends in a row. And that's what we've been missing, right? We've been missing that just consistency from these ACC teams. And there's still some up and downs, but it's been good. And I've been just so excited just watching these, breaking it all down. I don't have four monitors like you. I need to invest in some more TV screens.
Surprises
to get like
me.
A projector, right?
That surprised me because you had a busy weekend.
Yeah. Well, I have to watch them on a tiny screen. So I like one screen, I have six games on it. But it was a great weekend. You're right, Kelly. And really just across, you know, the country, there was such good football, but specifically in the ACC. And how about that AP poll? Come on. You kidding me? Three in the top five? Hey, this is a football conference. This is the football conference of this country. And guys are just, they're playing at a very high level right now. It's been a lot of fun to watch.
He said it. And when Eric McLean talks, you got to listen. The
hey,
football
like Kendrick
conference.
Perkins, you know, he was on the title. I don't know if you saw that SI thing. When
I
he
did.
Speaks, he says something, and I do too.
No, Mac, when you speak, you say nothing, I guess is the alternative.
Right.
No, that is not you. Let me ask you this. Before we get into these games, we're going to break down the big three, the games that we previewed on Friday, and then we'll touch on every game, so don't worry about that. Whoever you're a fan of, we're going to touch on those games. But Mac, back to your playing days. After one of these games, let's say after the Notre Dame game, for example, where it's a top 10 matchup, you're so hyped up, you even have some weather, you've got some rain. It's the Sunday after, okay? So think back in your mind. It's the Sunday after a game like that. How do you feel?
Terrible. 40 years old, 50, 67. I mean, you feel so old. Your body hurts. It aches, especially if it's a big, just physical game. Man, you feel so bad. And it's funny because if you get like banged up a little bit in the game, if you like roll your ankle or smash your finger, something crazy like that, that's not like a huge injury, but enough of injury. And you have to go to treatment at 6 a.m. on Sunday.
Oh, 6 a.m.
Yeah,
Sunday treatment?
You get in big trouble if you don't make it there. It's awful. Go in early, get your stuff done. It's not fun. It's not fun. And again, you're just like laying there in bed and you're like, do I have to move today? And you remember when we were freshmen, right? That mandatory study hall.
Oh my gosh.
Got to go to it. And you better get there early because you know you haven't gone all week. So you've got to get it all in on Sunday.
Sunday was the day. So at Clemson, you had to get what, 10 hours as a freshman, I think, throughout the week.
Are you kidding me?
And Sunday, you'd have people go in there when they opened at, I don't know, 9 a.m. and just sit there all day.
Till midnight. It's like, yo, what are you doing? This is not the point of this. But going back to physicality-wise, I mean, this game, you talk about Clemson-Miami specifically, both guys. And, you know, sadly enough, Miami had a couple of guys that really got banged up, and I hope they're okay. I haven't seen any injury reports quite yet. But, I mean, I bet those guys are hurting. I mean, that was a physical game really till the end. I mean, the whole game. And big kudos to Miami. I know we'll jump into it a little bit more, but they did not give up. They did not quit. And they played their hearts out till the clock was 0-0. So I know both of these teams are just – they're hurting, and they're probably in the ice tub right now.
Oh, and Miami had to fly back, so you add that in there. There's nothing worse than a night game that you lose, and you get back at – I'm assuming they got back at like 4 a.m.
Right.
Just brutal.
That's honestly the worst part is after the game, when you just literally bus to the nearest air places is over an hour away, and then you fly back. And then when you land, you're also an hour away.
Yep.
So you get on another bus to go back home to the stadium, and then you drive home. Like, it's away games are the absolute worst. That's why when bowl season comes around, it's so much fun, because after the game, we stay one more night. And you get that free time, and you know, you get to just sleep in a little bit. You know, I think we normally try to leave at like 11, but Sundays, Mondays after games are awful.
Okay. Last question on that, cause I'm curious, cause we would play games in the week. So you get back at 3-4 AM and you got to go to class. Yikes. You guys rarely would have a Thursday night game. Did you have to go to class after that Thursday night game?
You know, I can't remember road specifically. Game? I feel like we definitely would have to. Cause you know, coach was super adamant, and he cares a lot about that. So, and a lot of us do. I mean, that's how it kind of trickles down, but I can't remember specific. And maybe it was like after 12 o'clock, you know, if you had like an 8 a.m. Yeah. or a 10 a.m., you could miss that. Like you were excused to get to that. But I think we still had class. Which that, can you imagine that? Can you imagine playing a full football game? If you're an offensive lineman, a defensive lineman, a running back, a dude that literally gets hit every play, every game. And then you have to go sit in class for 6 hours. Oh man, sounds miserable.
I didn't get hit every play, every game.
And I'm not playing
anymore. But we had to do that. Going to class. Oh, anyway, but class is great. Student athlete. Yeah. Without class, Mac and I wouldn't be here.
Yeah. 2 degrees. We both have 2 degrees from Clemson, right? Both.
We're all in on class. Just the day after a road night game.
It'd be that ain't better it. To pass on it.
That ain't it, but you still got to go. Okay, let's jump into these games, Mac. Let's start with our big three, and let's start with the game of the night. Number 7, Miami at number 1, Clemson. Clemson just rolls on Miami, wins it relatively easily. I think the score was actually a little closer than that game was, just because right. You had the interesting decision by Dabo at Ooh. The end of the half to kick the field goal.
And he'd let you know too. He said, guys, look, that was all my fault. And it was funny. We were sitting on the couch watching. My parents were up here this weekend. And I said, what is he doing? This is a horrible decision. And then he said it himself. I was like, oh, well, I kind of felt bad by saying it. And then he said it. And I was like, yeah, you're right. Yeah. Actually, it was your fault.
So Clemson 42, Miami 17. Let's start with Miami, okay? And we'll talk. Clemson looked great. If you're Miami and you're getting back at whatever time, right? At least you don't have to go to class. What are your takeaways from Miami as they look forward?
You know, I think the biggest thing is, number one, you have an unbelievable quarterback. And you look at it, 12 for 28, 120 yards, 2 picks. I mean, that stunk. But his fight, his drive, his leadership did not waver a second. And that's what Miami has been missing for so long. If this was a year ago, 2 years ago, and same situation, even that 2017 team that, you know, Miami was really good, and it happened. You know, we saw what happened to them. But if they played this Clemson team, I think they would have tapped out and they would have quit and they would have been yelling and fighting and screaming at each other. Coach Manny Diaz said there was none of that. And just to see again, the leadership from King literally fighting to the very end to score a touchdown, their first offensive touchdown since 2010 against Clemson.
Wow.
That's what I wanted to see. That's what I wanted to see from them. And really the whole team fought unbelievably well. Bubba Baxton, I mean, he was all over the place, making plays, making field goal blocks. My goodness, what effort did they show on the Bubba Baxton was a kicker a year ago. Bubba Bolden at safety. I mean, the effort that he showed all night long, led the team in tackles, had 2 field goal blocks. I mean, that's just effort. That's effort at the end of the day. You can't just, you know, will that when you're getting whooped. I mean, you've got to bring that from within, and that's what he was able to do. So I think you're not feeling great about yourself, but moving forward, I think there's more of a, you know, Clemson's a really good team, and we can still be a good team. We have this whole thing in front of us, and hopefully we get to play them again and we learn from those mistakes and figure out a way to stay in it. So I think if you're Miami, you're still feeling good about your guys and your season moving forward.
I wasn't planning on bringing this up today, Mac, but I think it's actually a really good example. So Miami still has really all their goals in front of them. They can right. still play for the ACC championship and get a rematch with Clemson, but they have this somewhat embarrassing loss on national TV. You had a similar experience as a Clemson player, the 2013 Florida State game.
I'm unplugging my headphones. I'm hanging up.
I know. Max out. Okay. All right. Well, it's just going to be me.
You do the show, Kelly.
Mac, I swear I wasn't. One of our agreements when we decided to do this was never bring that game up. So my apologies.
I don't understand.
You guys went on to accomplish a lot of your goals in that season, still had a 10-win season in 2013. How do you overcome, how do you not let one game define your season?
Yeah, went to a BCS bowl. I mean, there was a lot of good things that happened that season. And I think it's just showing who you are as a team, who you are, where you are as a program, being able to put that aside and just saying, we messed up. We had a bad game. We lost. It's normal. It is so hard to go in this day and age, which it's different this year, but 15-0. It's only happened twice, Clemson, LSU. And I mean, it's just, it's so hard to be perfect. So if you can kind of have that amnesia, you know, not forget about it in a positive sense where you're learning from those mistakes, but just don't let that one loss, that one outing define you. I think you've got a really good chance as a program. So that's what I expect to see. And again, these guys moving forward, we did in 2013 and again, went on to have a really good year. So I think Miami understand that's in the rear view, focus on that dashboard and moving forward. And just keep going. Be who you are. Learn from it. Get better. Get healthy. Keep going.
Trevor Lawrence was really impressive on Saturday night. He even got a little salty, showed a little emotion,
He got angry. I love that.
It was great to see. We can talk about Trevor all day long, but Travis Etienne was the best player in that game. What did Etienne show? What did he prove?
Just his versatility. I mean, we've talked about it multiple times on this show. I've talked about it every time I'm on radio, every time I'm on the huddle. It seems like I'm bringing this up that he has gotten better and he's already been the 2-time ACC player of the year. I mean, he has a chance to meet history, to be a part of history, to be the only time 3-time ACC or conference player of the year with Herschel Walker. I mean, there's only been one guy to ever do it and he could now be the second. So just his versatility, I mean, his balance as a runner, that was on full display. I mean, some of the crazy stuff, his body's all contorted and falling down. And somehow he just keeps going. And then you saw that burst of speed, acceleration, 72 yards to the house, Kelly. On this, I mean, this is Miami. These are athletes. They're back. All this stuff. I mean, this is not some slouch team. This isn't Florida State a couple of years ago, Louisville a couple of years ago, where everybody's just killing them. I mean, this is a good football team. And for him to be able to put on that performance and do what he did all night long, I mean – I'm looking at the stats here, 200-plus yards, two touchdowns, and just at will, he averaged 9 yards a carry, a pass, every time he touched the rock. So he was on a different stratosphere. He's such a special player. We mentioned it Friday. Miami, what's the goal? Contain Etienne. That's how you try to win this football game. You didn't do it, and you saw the results of that. But, you know, overall, I thought Clemson played really well. Trevor lights out again with 71%, close to 300 yards.
Over 300 yards total. That's a key.
What's that?
No interceptions.
No picks. And again, he had that fumble, his first big turnover of the season, which, you know, put them in an adverse situation. But it was close. And, you know, it was a guy coming from behind, big defensive end. So just the team played really well. But the defense, Kelly, I cannot stress enough. These guys played lights out. And I put out a video. You know, we did something on the huddle where I kind of broke down, did Miami – you know, notice what Virginia was able to do. Did Virginia point out a weakness or a flaw in Clemson? And are they going to try to do this? And I countered my own point in the video. I try to do that, like, you know, playing devil's advocate, that Coach Brent Venables, defensive coordinator, is the best in the country. He's a mad scientist. He's a wizard. I mean, he just has these plays where he's going to get them in the right position. And what they do, held them to 200 yards. This team averaged 500 yards. Again, this is a really good football team in Miami, and Clemson just shut them down. So I don't think we can be impressed enough with what we saw from the defense. I mean, they had 5 sacks. They got after him all night long. De'Aaron King has never seen a defense like he saw Saturday night, and it was just – it showed him challenges, and it was tough to overcome. Five sacks, 11 tackles for loss, 3 interceptions, 6 pass breaks. I mean, the cornerbacks, the linebackers.
The secondary was great.
The whole defense. Everybody. Everybody just played really lights out for Clemson. Guys, you're listening. You're probably rolling in your eyes. I know we're Clemson people, but they're playing like the best team in the country, and they deserve this type of credit. And what they did, again, Miami, very good football team. Clemson just that much better right now.
What really impressed me was how Clemson contained King on the ground.
Yeah.
Because I thought Clemson's linebackers had a pretty poor performance versus Virginia, honestly, staying in front of Brennan Armstrong and getting him down in one-on-one situations. Dear King had the one big run. But besides that, Clemson's linebackers looked a lot better than I thought. And I think part of that was having Tyler Davis back and having your line in better shape. That helped as well, because the Tigers were able to get some pressure on King from the jump.
And I think another thing was just that respect factor, Kelly. I mean, they expected him to be able to do that. Yeah. So there's a little bit more paying attention. Guy spied. I noticed Mike Jones spied a ton. Again, because you're just respecting how good King is. So you're just giving him more attention. Maybe with Brennan, they said, yeah, beat us. Please, right. Show us. And he was able to make some big-time plays. But with King, I mean, they were not going to allow it. And you talk about the rest of the running backs. I mean, how special have Miami's running backs been? Cameron Harris has just destroyed people. What'd he do? He rushed for 0.4 yards a rush. I mean, they shut it down. Guys, I can't emphasize how impressive it was on defense.
Shut it down.
Yeah, it was over. It was over. And I could tell from really the first snap on defense, it was a tackle for loss. I mean, I knew from that moment that Miami was going to be in over their head. But, again, kudos to them fighting to the end. The effort never wavered. The leadership never wavered. I didn't see people yelling, screaming, cussing on the sideline. It's a good football team. You're going to get better.
Good stuff there, Emac. Yeah, I agree. And I think having Tyler Davis back was really big for Clemson, too, not having him against Virginia.
Huge.
And who knows, the Tigers might get Xavier Thomas back soon enough.
To see him on the field.
Yeah,
if you're
a
college football fan, you want to see these elite guys running around playing. For him to get any snaps at all, you got to be feeling good about the product that you're going to see on Saturdays.
We had another ranked versus ranked matchup on Saturday, and this one was a shootout. Virginia Tech and North Carolina. North Carolina prevails, but man, 56-45, so many points in this game. There's so much to look at with this game, because I think the first thing that we should talk about is Sam Howell and the fact that he was connecting on
the
deep ball
the podcast.
Because
to the podcast.
Eric McLean called him out and he said, you know what, Mac? I'm going to prove you wrong. I'm completely convinced that's what happened with Sam Howell.
I am too. I think he was listening to us Saturday morning
Obviously.
On the podcast. He said, you know what, bro? I'm going to show you. Check this out. Tune in.
Kelly believes in me, but Mac doesn't.
Yeah, just to give you guys kind of a look at this game and kind of how this was my type of football game. I'm an offensive guy. I love scheme. I love points. I love yards. I was in heaven watching every single second of this play, of this game, and it was just tremendous. I mean, it literally had everything you could ever want from a football game. If you're an offensive guy, I mean, you're talking about 600 plus yards from UNC storming back from Virginia. They were down 21 points twice and came back to at one point be down just a touchdown. So it was a tremendous game. But yeah, you're right. Starting with Sam Howell looked like the Sam Howell a year ago, but better, which is what I've expected. And again, maybe it's unfair. EJ tells me all the time, I'm so unfair on quarterbacks, and maybe I am. You know, I expect so much from those guys just because I know the work that they put in. And you just expect that type of success. And you and I talked about it a couple of shows ago that there's sometimes you can never live up to the expectation unless you win the Heisman, the national championship, and you're the first round overall pick. You're not going to live up to it.
What does EJ say? What does he say to defend quarterbacks? Like, is he saying that you're putting too much pressure on them or you're expecting them to be too perfect?
It depends. I mean, literally anything I say. The guy's not hitting the deep ball. Man, it's been two games. He didn't have a spring. He's not with his guys. You know, he's not winning. You're putting too much, you know, literally anything I say about a quarterback, he defends them in counters. But again, he's been in those shoes. I haven't.
Right.
So he knows literally firsthand what the pressure's like, why a guy might not be hitting on all cylinders. And sometimes it's, again, regression is normal. I mean, it's just you get to a point where people have film on you. They know what to expect. They know who you are. But that's not the case with Sam. I mean, he's so good. The offense was ripped open. I mean, the run game, the passing game, it was perfect. And they still, yeah, I talked about this too, they were still run heavy. I mean, that was a thing that I want to see more passing. The run game was still run heavy. It ripped open the passing game. I mean, he was 18 of 23, three touchdowns, really four. One was a lateral to Daz Newsome. That should have been a passing touchdown, but it technically counted as a rushing touchdown. But again, just what they're able to do, everything. When I went to bed in the offseason, I dreamt of this UNC offense. And so it was so good to see them perform just to the level that I thought they could. And, Kelly, it was a thing of beauty all night long.
Mac, that's weird. That's weird.
It's true. That's what offensive guys think about in the offseason. What can this team look like?
And you'll see when we get to basketball season, the official stance of this podcast is that defense is stupid.
Yeah, no one
cares the official stance.
The SEC is finally caught up to that. I don't know if you knew that or not.
I was looking for an SEC defense.
The big SEC, the Big 12, the SEC combined.
Kentucky's the only one. When you talk about North Carolina and their speed, and just their offense and their speed, that's what stands out to me. They have some burners. Michael Carter and Javonte Williams, Daz Newsome, De'Ami Brown. These guys, the team speed for North Carolina, dare I say it, Mac, I think
it, don't you say it. What are you about to say?
It's on Clemson's level offensively.
Okay. I thought you were about to say some kind of conference speed. Have you ever heard people say that? That's conference speed.
No, they've got ACC speed, man.
They got ACC speed. Y'all ever seen that? It's way faster. It's way faster.
Would you say North Carolina's team speed offensively is comparable to Clemson's?
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Whew. Even going into the season, I said, you know, UNC's wide receivers were better. Collectively, we're about to hit on this, but collectively their running back room might be better. I don't know. Travis Etienne is so good.
Middle of the week.
Yeah, right. Travis Etienne, he's good enough where he counts as two players. But, you know, those two guys that they have, Michael Carter, Javonte Williams, they're good. They're really good. And it's fun to watch. So I think you're right, Kelly. The speed that they have, the explosion that they have on offense, they can go toe-to-toe with anybody in the country.
And Virginia Tech, look, they scored the ball too. They just couldn't stop North Carolina enough. Hendon Hooker came in the second half. Khalil Herbert was still really good. I'm assuming it's going to be all Hendon Hooker for Virginia Tech going forward.
You would hope so, right? I mean, we've been literally calling for. Yeah, he's fantastic. He takes their offense to another level just because it's not one-dimensional. I mean, Burmeister has shown he's okay passing, but Hooker is elite passing, and he can open up so many more things. I mean, he was 7 of 13, but 136 yards, 2 touchdowns. So he can just do something differently than the other two really can. And again, just little idiosyncrasies of that offense when he's at when he's the guy, when he's at quarterback, it's just different. But they got it rolling too. I mean, rushing, they still rush the ball. You know, that first quarter, I was like, UNC is for real. Their defense is great. They are awesome. And you know, they showed flashes. And I think Virginia Tech might just be that good on offense where it's kind of hard to contain for a full game. We'll see, obviously, as the season goes along. But, I mean, those guys played great. The offensive line still looked really good. You know, in the second, third, and fourth quarter, those guys started really moving the ball. So, similar to Miami, if you're Virginia Tech, you know, you have a loss and you just keep going. You still have your goals in front of you. You play Clemson in the year. You know, you have a lot of opportunity, you know, to still do everything that you want to do, everything you want to accomplish this year. So, if I'm Virginia Tech, I'm not feeling bad at all.
How much does UNC's defense worry you? Are you worried at all about UNC's defense? Look, they're a top five team now in the country. You'd think they might want to look a little better defensively just to look as balanced as possible. We know they can score. Are you worried about that defense?
No, I'm not. Okay. I think they're that good on offense where it just doesn't matter. We'll outscore you.
They're gonna come up with Clemson at some point.
Right. You would think, right? And maybe it's just maybe it's a barn burner or not a barn burner. You know, I'm sure Clemson defensively, I'm not thinking they're scared of anybody, but you know, maybe it's to a point where they play up to competition, maybe something, you know, going on, guys missing because of coronavirus and all these crazy stuff. But you know, I'm not worried about it. I think their offense is that good.
And in terms of achieving their goals, they want to beat Clemson. They almost beat them last year. But North Carolina, if they make it to the ACC championship game, lose, maybe go to an Orange Bowl or whatnot, that's going to be a very, very successful year for UNC. And I think they can do all of that without a defense that just wows you. But that's probably going to be the next step for them as a program.
Yeah, and that's when you look at recruiting, that's kind of how that's going. You know, they're going out and getting some of these five-star, you know, linebackers or DBs, defensive ends. I mean, they had the number one player in ESPN who's a defensive end who's just going to grow, blossom, and be better. So I think you're right. That's kind of what the focus will be. And, of course, they'll have filler pieces to kind of go along with this offense as it ebbs and flows. But, I mean, the situation you just brought up, Kelly, if they go undefeated, mm-hmm. you know, you're number five right now. Who knows where you'll be if you go undefeated the whole year. You play Clemson and lose. I mean, there's still a really good shot of you potentially making a
playoff. It's a good shot at the playoff,
Right. You look at the teams that lost this weekend in the SEC and Big 12, and, I mean, people are just eliminating each other. So the name of the game is to try and be undefeated, obviously, as long as you can, or throughout the whole season, then you have no clue. If this is the year that any conference or a conference other than the SEC is going to get two in, this is it.
Really good point, Mac. Up in Chestnut Hill, Boston College 31, Pittsburgh 30, a missed extra point in overtime. This game was bananas. I think we both lean towards Pittsburgh, but Phil Jurkovec, oh man, he was just excellent. So looking good. Like Big Ben, like you said. How much can BC build on this moving forward? Man,
I just have to say this. We do not attack anybody on this show. We don't go after anybody. But kickers, college kickers, I don't like you.
College kickers, Matt.
I do not like you. I even said, I was sitting on the couch. I said, don't kick it. Go for two. Go for the win right now. My dad said, you're crazy. Boom. Missed it. Loss. It's crazy, Kelly.
That's always the dilemma.
You practice every day.
I kept saying for Texas to go for two in that Red River shootout.
Look at what happened.
But it's an extra point. It's not like it's a 42-yard field goal. This is an extra point, man.
It was wild. I can't stand them. You know, you're great people, I'm sure. Can't stand kickers. But anyway, Boston College, I think they have a lot of room to grow. I'm so excited about this team. Zay Flowers stepping up. I mean, I kind of expected a little bit of this from him last year, just seeing him in person as a true freshman and what he was able to do. But he didn't have a quarterback to throw it to him. He didn't have a guy that can bomb it out. I mean, he's a guy that can absolutely take the top off the defense. He averaged 27 yards per catch yesterday, Kelly. And what he was able to do Saturday, what he was able to do, tremendous. Phil, again, just the decision-making from him. He did take a really bad sack late in that game that I thought he should have gotten rid of the ball. But outside of that, played tremendous, took huge hits, still got up. Pitt had five sacks and did their part. You know, they had 13 tackles for loss, five sacks. But, again, Phil just was too much, had that trust in his wide receivers. And Hunter Long, Zay Flowers, Big Lewis out there, those guys stepped up tremendously, and it's only going to get better from here on out.
You know what I've circled on my calendar? November 14th, Boston College hosting Notre Dame.
Yep.
We're going to talk about Notre Dame in our quick hitters when we wrap up the other four games. Notre Dame didn't want this guy.
Is that fair to say?
Okay, they wanted him because they brought him in. But they chose Ian Book over this guy.
They did choose Ian Book. But to be quite frank and 100% honest with you, you know, the more that I've read into that situation and kind of looked into it, and I obviously haven't talked with Phil about this. I'd love to one day. But, you know, he just wasn't flourishing at Notre Dame. I mean, he was not this player. I can guarantee you
that.
He
needed a change of scenery.
Yeah, and just I don't know if he was in his own head or if there was just so much going on at Notre Dame. I'm not sure, but he was not this player. I can guarantee you that. And I'm sure they're happy, you know, that he was able to go somewhere else and to be the player that they thought he would be. That's why they offered him. That's why they recruited him. So, I it's funny to say that. And I'm sure even in the media, we'll talk about it. And you know, that particular game, that'll be a huge focal point for everybody. But I don't think that's the case. I don't think there's any bad blood, and I don't think there was any ill will at all. So it's great to see. And, again, when guys get that next chance or another chance, and you love to see him be successful with it. So he's the heart and soul of this team, the leader, and it's really been fun to watch his development and just honestly meet some of the expectations that were placed upon him coming out of school. Mm-hmm. And so it's really cool when you can see a guy do that.
I'm still circling that game. Oh, me I'm too. Ready.
Hey, look,
it's the most hype I've been for a BC Notre Dame game in a while.
ever, right? So we had a, you know, a schedule show where we talked about different things. I said, if you think Phil Jurkovec doesn't have this game highlighted, circled, starts, he cannot wait for that game. So it's going to be fun to see November 14th when it comes rolling around.
Can't wait. Okay, let's run through the rest of these games that happened this weekend. Georgia Tech, big dub on Friday night, 46-27 over Louisville. Mac, they didn't turn the ball over.
Hallelujah, Kelly.
Oh, my gosh.
It was amazing to see and just really what those guys were able to do and took advantage of turnovers, right? They had
– yes.
I'm calculating up here, 19 points off of turnovers. I mean, that's amazing to take that opportunity, that freebie that they give you, and just go and score. And again, of course, thank you, Georgia Tech. Love you. Love the Yellow Jackets. You made the huddle look very dumb that we did not know what we were talking about because we all picked Louisville. And Georgia Tech said, okay, great. We're going to go out here and win by 20 points. And it was just, it was funny because I poked fun and said, you know, we don't know what we're talking about. And, you know, all the Georgia Tech fans said, you know, we forgive you this time, but don't do it again. I was like, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I promise. But it was fun to see.
They're playing Clemson next weekend.
Yeah, I guess what? I'm not going to pick you again. Sorry. But maybe the next game. You know, let's get through this one. But, you know, just a total team effort. They had four different guys score a rushing touchdown. They had two guys throw touchdowns. Sims, the quarterback, again, just took care of the ball well, ran the ball. I mean, when you lead your team in passing and rushing and you go to Georgia Tech, you're doing something really, really good there. So, was very impressed with them, just his composure and just not letting the moment – you know, be too big. So I thought that was really cool to see them, that the attention, everybody's watching, it's Friday night. So it was a very good moment for Georgia Tech. Coach Jeff Collins, who's done more than an incredible job with Georgia Tech. I've been very impressed and just happy to see a guy like that who loves his player so much have success. So, you know, Georgia Tech, I don't know if we want to call him a sleeping giant quite yet, but I think there's going to be some very drastic improvement in the next 3 years.
Assuming they went to Waffle House post-game.
Yeah.
I mean,
smothered, covered, chunked. Waffle House, if you listen and sign up for the podcast, review it, subscribe.
Mac and I, big Waffle House fans, big Waffle House fans. All right, Mac, I got to be honest. I picked this. On the radio station, we have a pick'em contest. Every other person picked Virginia. Your girl went with the pack. NC State, 38 points there, win over Virginia 38-21. Devin Leary was excellent. Zonovan Knight ran the ball really well. And then Virginia, Brennan Armstrong goes out. Virginia brings in linebacker Lindell Stone, who's wearing what, number 36?
36.
And he was great. This was a really fun game, but NC State, they just got out to too much of a lead.
Yeah, they absolutely did. And it's funny, Kelly, you know, we should do a podcast together because I also picked NC State. I was actually undefeated this weekend. I was feeling really good.
Nice. I also picked Georgia Tech. So we win together, we lose. Or no, exactly. I picked Louisville. Sorry,
exactly.
Not Georgia Tech.
So we're feeling really good. But I was right there with you. I thought that NC State had figured it out. I thought that they were feeling really good about their offense. Devin Leary, baller. And he had a pretty good game, you know, 11 for 25. Right under 20 or 50% there, but did enough, you know, did enough to win and still look very confident. And I think they're just rolling. They're figuring out on the offensive line. They're figuring out on their in the running back room and really, really doing well. And also the defense, you know, they did enough. You know, they stepped up. They had three sacks, were able to turn the ball over, a couple of times there. But again, when you give up 400 yards to a backup quarterback, it's a little bit of a head scratcher. So that NC State defense, they still have a ways to go. But for a couple of quarters there, they look really solid.
They look confident. NC State's just playing with a certain level of confidence. And I love
to see it. People forget, Kelly, just a couple of years ago, I mean, outside of last year, this is a 9-win football team. Like, it's nothing. So these guys are used to it. They expect it. And also historically really good on defense. So this is just kind of a weird 2 years for them. And I think they're right in the middle of bouncing back. And, you know, you hope to see that. Again, you want these teams to be successful.
And they found their QB, which I think definitely helps. All right, Mac, the game that Syracuse.com, our friends at Syracuse.com, quoted you saying this game hurts your soul. Duke looked pretty good, though. And kind of in the Georgia Tech vein, they didn't turn the ball over as much. They took care of the football, and it led to wins. Isn't that a crazy concept? Duke beat Syracuse in the Dome 38-24.
You know, outside of an obliterating strip sack and a crazy interception that Syracuse was able to force, you know, not too many turnovers.
But Price looked better.
Yeah. And, you know, at the end of the day, what won the game? You know, Duke's defensive line, you know, just wreaking havoc, six sacks, nine tackles for loss. But offensively, I mean, I think Duke might have figured it out. I mean, they are a ground-and-pound team. They have two exceptional running backs, Deion Jackson and Durant there, both 160-plus yards and are a little bit different, but at the same time very similar, which is very confusing. But when you just see them, it's kind of their body type. They look the same, but they can just do some different things there for you if you're Duke. So I think they figured it out that, hey, we can run the ball. We can run the ball really well. And let's just have Chase throw it in complimentary when we need it. And he was very successful in doing so. So it was fun to see. It was great to see a team. Anytime, you know, a team goes 300 plus, 350 plus rushing yards, you're feeling really good. And I think they had like 600 total yards. I mean, that's incredible for Duke. I think the most ever under Cutcliffe, 645. So a really good outing. You're feeling really good if you're Duke.
Good for those kids to get a win. I know it's been a tough start to the season for Duke. All right, Mac. Number five, last game to talk about today to recap. Number five, Notre Dame beats Florida State 42-26. Florida State was very much in this game until the interception. And I'm just going to say it. Notre Dame's up to number four now in the AP poll. This is not the number four team in the country. Yeah, Notre Dame is not.
Yeah, I think they've shown some weaknesses here and there, not being able to do certain things. But they picked it up, you know, in the second half.
They got the win.
Defensively. And the offense kind of teetered off. I mean, they scored a touchdown in the third quarter, and then they didn't score again in the fourth. And maybe they called the dogs off a little bit, maybe not. But I think that it checks some boxes for me, Kelly. You know, okay. Ian Book, what I wanted to see was him throw the ball downfield and get it to some of his outside wide receivers. Check, did that. Had a couple of really long passes, really good bombs to Javion McKinley, Braden Lindsey. And then, of course, the tight ends were heavily involved, as we know they always will be. So that's what I wanted to see from them. They rushed the ball for 350 yards against Florida State. I mean, that's crazy to me, especially with all the preseason hype of Florida State's defense. And they still have players. The crazy thing at the end of the day is we're going to see this Florida State team. Who knows how many games they're going to win. It's going to be single digit, small single digit. But they're going to have two or three guys on that defense get drafted in the first two rounds. Crazy. And we're just going to be scratching our head. Like, how did this not translate to success on the field? And, you know, I think, you know, just silver linings with Florida State, you hung in there and then a big turnover occurred and you kind of, you know, you kind of ruined it for yourself. So both
but
teams,
you were in striking distance. They were.
Exactly. You were. And so I think you're feeling okay about yourself. I don't think all hope is lost. Jordan Travis looked really good. And but again, Notre Dame offensive line looked great. Your defense really thrived, I thought. I thought they were able to make some really special plays. But you're right, Kelly. I think there might be some question marks. And when they play a big dog, one of these ranked teams, which their schedule gets tough quick, it's going to be interesting to see.
They ran the ball with the East. Notre Dame did. I'll give them credit for that. Last question of this episode, Mac. Would you rank North Carolina above Notre Dame if you were an AP voter at this point?
Oh, yeah. No doubt. And I think the thing is, though, that they're seeing that gold dome. They're seeing that name, Notre Dame, the brand. But right now, let's be honest. I mean, UNC's firing on all cylinders. They look fantastic. It's just a team that, you know, I feel better about personally this year. You have to remove everything else. It's just this year. But I think both are going to be really competitive, and I can't wait to see, you know, just really how the end of the season goes. What about you? What do you think?
I would definitely have North Carolina above Notre Dame. Yeah. And, yes, I think they get credit because of the Golden Dome and all that stuff. I would have them a little lower in the – I'd still have them top 10. But to have Notre Dame at four right now, they just haven't proven enough for me at this point. But yeah, They'll have their chances. They'll definitely have their chances.
I agree. Well, Kelly, it was a great episode. It was a great weekend, two great weekends in a row. Hey, guys, if you haven't already, go to iTunes, subscribe to our podcast. Drop us a little 5-star rating. You know, we'd be cool with that. And if you want to talk about anything, leave it in the comments there. But we greatly appreciate it. But hey, guys, until next time, we'll see y'all.